So welcome again this morning in Saal Dijkstra. You got up very early to attend this talk because it's on a very interesting subject. Many of you, I guess, are already makers or are interested in making stuff and modifying things that the vendor just throws at you and says use as it is, and you say no, I want to do stuff that I like with it. And today we have two people here who think very much alike. The subject of the talk today is making experts makers and makers experts. Today with us are Daniel Wesolek and Isabelle Deschamps, and the stage is yours.
Thank you. First of all, thanks for inviting us. We're actually quite glad because this is the first time we're here on the stage. And yesterday I was looking through the door and there were so many people, so I was really intimidated and a little bit afraid. So bear with us. First of all, the title of the talk, experts for us are like user experts, people that are in specific situations, that have specific needs, that know exactly what they want, what they could need, what could help them, what's the situation for them in order to improve their things. And it's often little details that like engineers and other people developing stuff can't tell. So we worked in a way that we brought them together with makers in order to do in a co-creation process right away the connection of both in order to figure out right away what's needed, what could be solutions, what are ways to do something. This merges then, of course, it's not on the one hand you have like users and on the other hand you have like, I don't know, geeks and maker people. Of course, they overlap. Like people that we were working with in the big team was like, were like developing like a bamboo wheelchair or like a bike frame. So some people are engineers and sit in a wheelchair, and other people, make stuff. So this is our symbol for active makers in wheelchairs or interested in wheelchairs. We wanted to say a quick word about us before coming to Berlin last year and getting dragged into this project. I was in Singapore and was working on a little bit of a similar thing. From the broad context, there in the Augmented Human Lab, as a postdoc, I developed with people together a flashlight or like an indication, start indication light for people that are swimmers and deaf. And so in the beginning, they only had one flashlight on the side. So we made like individual lights that are compatible with the timing system, and like you could look at them. And this was really a nice start for me to work in this direction. Isa?
Yeah, thanks, and hello from my side as well. My professional background is in industrial design, and I'm working a lot with facilitating co-creation, and this is why I started working together with Daniel, because he brings in this technical perspective. I brought a little example of a project that I've been running this year with my team from Be Able, and I think it describes, or these two images describe pretty well what my work is about. It's really about bringing people together at a table with very different perspectives and have them in a co-creation process in order to change their environment by themselves. And it's a lot about integration as well. So these two images that you see here are from a project that we've been running in a prison or in a forensic clinic, where we were developing tools and concepts for a better reintegration of the patients. But today we want to talk about a different project, and that's where
made for my wheelchair.
And Daniel already gave us a little introduction in how he came to this quite abstract title of bringing together experts and makers and merging them in order to have the power of both perspectives profit from each other and to become a critical mass to design stuff together. In Made for My Wheelchair, we were designing do-it-yourself add-ons that were distributed open source, and they have been designed in this co-creation process where we had 7 wheelchair users, a few makers that were changing here and there, and some designers leading the team. It was financed by the Bundesministerium of Bildung und Forschung and run in FabLab Berlin together with our non-profit organization called Be Able. Inspired, or the inspiration for running this project came from our friend Raul, who bought himself a 3D printer and just started experimenting with it. And we found this very interesting, and we talked together with him and we thought, man, there are so many possibilities in using maker technologies software. We should give more access to this technologies. And as some other friends of us were running the FabLab Berlin, we just put all this stuff together and made the project out of it. And now we would like to give you a super short, show you a short video that tells pretty much about the project, and then it's our plan to give you some insights in the process, how we put that up, and also we want to talk a bit about one of our results. So, there we go.
Mein Name ist Raul Krauthausen, ich bin 37 Jahre alt, komme aus Berlin, bin Aktivist für Inklusion und Barrierefreiheit und finde, dass Rollstühle bei Weitem noch nicht das sind, was sie sein könnten, nämlich attraktiv, modern und cool. Einer meiner großen Herausforderungen ist das Thema Beleuchtung. Beleuchtung, um nachts besser sehen zu können mit dem Rollstuhl, aber auch, um nachts besser gesehen zu werden.
Ich bin Nikolai. Ich habe vor ein paar Jahren mit Freunden das FabLab Berlin gegründet. FabLabs gibt es auf der ganzen Welt und jeder hat dort Zugang zu digitalen Fertigungstechnologien. Zum Beispiel Lasercutter, 3D-Drucker, CNC-Fräsen.
Ich bin Hanna, bin 22 Jahre alt und studiere gerade Urbanistik in Berlin. Und in dem Projekt Made for My Wheelchair, da entwickeln wir gerade Produkte für den Rollstuhl, sogenannte Add-ons, zum Beispiel dieses Belichtungsset hier.
Ich bin Wei Wei, ich bin Designer bei Be Able. In dem Projekt arbeiten wir in einem interdisziplinären Team von Designern, Rollstuhlfahrern und Technikern.
Angefangen hat alles auf dem Hackathon 2016 auf der Maker Fair, wo rollstuhlfahrende Menschen definiert haben, was sie sich wünschen, zum Beispiel in Bezug auf Interaktion mit nichtbehinderten Menschen, Beleuchtung am Rollstuhl, Stauraum.
Und aus diesen Bedürfnissen heraus haben wir Ideen entwickelt, wo wir dann kleine Modelle, also sogenannte Prototypen basteln, aus Pappe oder anderen Materialien. Und das ist total inspirierend, finde ich, wenn man das mit seinen eigenen Händen irgendwie schafft.
Ja, hier haben wir alle Komponenten, die wir zum Bau eines Lichts brauchen. Die kosten weniger als 20 Euro. Mit unserer Anleitung könnt ihr die ganz einfach zusammenbauen. Das Ganze ist Open Source. Das heißt, ihr könnt sowohl die Gehäuse als auch die Lichteffekte verändern und weiterentwickeln.
Wir haben 2 Scheinwerfer vorne am Rollstuhl, dann eine Unterbodenbeleuchtung und ein Rücklicht.
Durch mehrere Testingrunden haben wir die Beleuchtungen ständig verbessert, sodass man das leicht nachbauen kann und intuitiv benutzen kann.
Unser Anspruch war es, dass die Dinge am Ende gut aussehen und nicht nach Sanitätshaus.
Mein persönlicher Favorit ist die Unterbodenbeleuchtung, weil man die von außen nicht so sieht und es ist aber abends total der Hingucker. Und gerade wenn man mit Freunden irgendwie unterwegs ist, dann macht das voll was her.
Hast du Lust bekommen, das auch zu bauen?
Dann ist hier dein Raum für deine Ideen, wo du alles individuell gestalten kannst und das ist super cool.
Komm zum FabLab, macht euch vertraut mit den Maschinen und dann baut euch ein richtig cooles Beleuchtungsset.
Es gibt nichts Gutes, außer man tut es.
So, this video we produced in the end in order to share, but before to share it with a lot of people, as you saw, there was an open call in the end. But before, there was like 1 year of preparing this for this moment. And basically, or even longer actually, because the planning was before. Basically, we had three phases in this project. And the first phase was the scout phase, where it was very dear to us to find the right people to be in this project. So we were looking through different channels. We spoke to a lot of people to compose a diverse team of people who were creative, but also had certain skills and had certain needs. And we invited them to come to the Fab Lab and to the Maker Faire for a first hackathon. And the first phase was also about the need finding and producing a lot of ideas, a really wide range. The second phase was really about concentrating and focusing a bit more, and the making. We had an alpha making phase and a beta making, making phase, and we had a lot of iterations and testings. And the third phase was the sharing, the publishing and the distribution of the results with instructions and a lot of things to consider. So the first day was really about meeting the group and understanding the needs of our team, of the seven wheelchair users that we chose or that came together to do this. And we really started from scratch. So we didn't have any clue about what products would come out of this project. We knew there would be products, that was our scope to design them, but we had no idea what they were about. And after we had this first visualization that you saw on this right image there, we came overnight to four different clusters that we thought there's a lot of potential to ideate into these, so to find ideas in those clusters. That was transport and storage, especially transport, because for example, shopping is really difficult for people in wheelchairs very often. Or they have assistance that when they have an electric wheelchair, they kind of have a different speed walking next to each other. Very related to this was the topic of human interaction, how to bring people on eye level when one is sitting in a wheelchair and the other one is standing or needs a chair, the second topic or line is whether particularly working with really bad weather conditions like snow in the winter. And also connected to this was the topic of lighting, being seen and seeing in the darkness. And with these topics, we went to the Maker Faire in 2016, and we even invited some more people to our tables. And we provided them with materials and paper and pens and became really wild and prototyping and ideating. So this was this whole day and this whole hackathon was just about finding as many solutions as possible for the needs that we had discovered before. And as you see here, we haven't just been visualizing with pens. We also had like these little plastic wheelchairs that we 3D printed beforehand that could be equipped with little models of things that we were wishing to have. Yeah, there are a few more. So we were physically trying to make the stuff that we were imagining that could be cool. With found objects, with rough material, and it was going really fast for a big quantity of things.
The little one on the left, the little image, is a telescope lamp, for example. Someone wanted a lamp that you can like extend, and then you have this glowing object that shows, gives you light from above, as an example.
Yeah, so very low fidelity prototypes for having the possibility to have a really wide range of ideas. And from there, we went one step further. We came to the second phase, which was the making phase. And in a discussion with our inclusive team, we decided for three projects that we wanted to take further in the second phase. That was making snow chains, trying to make snow chains, actually, transportation and lighting. And we had for each of these phases about 1 month, and they always started with a camp where the whole group was together for 1 or 2 days in the Fab Lab and was prototyping and hacking and programming. And in order to guide us what to decide for, we had these design and testing criteria. Of course, it was really important to make something feasible. We wanted to have a result that we can actually make. Aesthetics, as you heard Raul in the video, were quite important because a lot of stuff that is made for people with disabilities really looks and screams out that it is for disabilities.
Well, just because you're like a little bit smaller, doesn't mean that you want to have like child style accessories and so on. So it's kind of like, yeah, there's like certain market things that really annoy people that have to use them in a big way. So style was like a really important factor.
Yeah, impact was important, of course. Time and cost for production, which makes it accessible, and it's like close to feasibility as well in a way. And also we wanted to make sure that the products that we designed are really doable in a wide range of fab labs, not just in the most fancy ones. Yeah. So I just want to share some quick impressions on these camps where we all sat together and used the laser cutters, used the 3D printers, and did a lot of different prototypes. And after these phases, we always came into intense testing, but I will give the word to you now to say a bit more about the lights.
I got involved because I was like talking to Nikolai a lot about it during the process, and then there was this idea of doing lights and like a camp for doing lights, and that's where I really started to be really involved. And like there were like a few things that are important. Like we wanted to have the cases being produced in a fab lab context, or the electronic parts needed to be like easily accessible from an external distributor. And like there are a lot of like tricks that were important. So one thing was, of course, like where do you attach the things? How do you power them? So these are examples of how to show them. Then there was like, was mainly about figuring out good ways to make it, to do it. And like, here's already like the testing a bit. So they are like round elements.
Cool. Das sieht ziemlich cool aus.
there are like round elements. We brought some of the straight elements. They're like simply NeoPixels, a trinket, and one button, so it's only three parts. But like making them actually is still quite a challenge to fit them snugly into their cases without breaking them apart. There were like a lot of things that we tried to consider using the tools that are openly available in FabLabs. So it's like a 3D printed case. There's like it's very smooth in the bottom because it's like on a heated, made on a heated plate. So it's like the resolution is nicer and the finishing is nicer than normally. There's like ways to attach Kabelbinder, zip ties, yeah, and like different ways of like attaching them, also in a non-permanent way if one wants to remove them again. The cases are like designed and like in a way that one can also expand them and like manipulate them from the casing design. You can see like the making process of the things. And for me, it was like it seemed so simple from the parts or something, and I thought it would be really nice to have more components, at least like some way of like sensing something. Here one can see how the things get assembled. We had like, if you have like two of the stripes that you solder together, we figured out it's really difficult to put them in the case because they always break. So it's like the attachment part is still something where one can find improvements. So here are the different ways of attaching it. We thought of clips, like rings, the zip ties, power strip things, and so on. These are different ways of doing it. This is the way that where we thought, okay, it would be nice to actually have some sensor data. For example, like if you are in the wheelchair and you speed up and then you suddenly slow down, that the backlight, for example, could react in a specific way. We started working a little bit with like BBC micro bits, where it's really nice that there are all the sensors in there. There's like this school education thing. There's also like a German version Calliope, what's very similar and based on that project. But they also have like, they're based on the NRF52, so they can communicate with each other. And we thought it would be really nice if there were moments where people meet by accident that have these lights, and then suddenly there's like special effects that are like started once you meet the other person, and then you could think of ways of like more interactive things. Or even something simple like the, like you have this Unterbodenbeleuchtung. Oh.
The floor light.
The floor lighting. And it's connected to a temperature sensor, and then you have like, you also have like this indication of how warm or cold it is. And like so there's a lot of things that one could imagine and where one could push it further, but like at the workshops that we ran, for example, at RehaCare in Düsseldorf, was very obvious that like making such a thing, even with the prepared cases in advance, by like soldering the things, if you don't have like soldering experience and do this every day, and then programming them is already like a huge time frame, and like adding extra components would need to be like really like a second further step. And we decided to leave the battery outside also for simplicity, but also because like in many wheelchairs there's like especially with electric wheelchairs, there's often like a USB port that one can connect it to and power it from there. And there are like many wheelchair users simply have like a power bank under the seat, so it seemed like a good way of doing it.
Yeah, maybe a few quick last words about the sharing, because that was the last phase, and it was also very dear to us to really distribute the information about this product. In order to do that, we put some instructions on Instructables, even won a prize for that last week or 2 weeks ago. And I could maybe show you this. We also set up a website. And most important, we started running workshops on how to build the lights and also another product that we developed in this workshop. And we started doing this on fairs and also in the FabLab Berlin. But we also constructed some instructions, very simple ones, to make FabLabs know about the possibility of giving those workshops themselves. They are super self-explanatory, and also to motivate people with wheelchairs to start groups to have their own workshops and talk to FabLabs in order to host these.
Even if you can technically like order all the stuff, like it only makes sense to come together basically in a FabLab and like have the tools and have like also the knowledge and have some other people that can hold something for a bit and so on. So we really want to encourage FabLabs and people who would like to build something to self-organize and like use these tools in order to make local events, simply to build the things and to share the experiences.
And we also have a bigger vision. And that's already started, we started working on that. We really figured out in this project that there's a lot of potential to bring together makers and user experts and merge them. And now we really would like to start working on a platform that brings together all sorts of needs, people's needs, and collect needs and ideas and projects in order to have more products that can be found and distributed, because there's a lot of platforms around, but none really covers a specific topic area in a concentrated way. So,
and we would also be really curious to if someone has experience from like open source software development, like how one could do projects that are hardware based and like collect them, but then also split them in single tasks, because I think there are also many people that would like to help an individual with a certain solution by like designing a case or by like making electronics, designing electronics, thinking about the things, and like, but we think it would be good if there's like a way that people don't have to physically necessarily come together, but one can simply like sit at the computer and like give a few hours whenever one feels like in that time slot and then make something happen where one really knows what it's for, who it's for, and what it's trying to solve, and then also gets feedback afterwards of how people can use it, if it helps them, what improvements there still are.
So please feel free to come and connect to this project and bring it to life with us. We also brought some stickers and postcards, so I think we should open now for the discussion, or if there is any questions. We are kind of done with the time, right? or maybe not, and you can meet us wherever. We will be here today, tomorrow, on Saturday, and we would be very happy to connect. There's a question.
Do you have a mobile microphone?
Oh, yes.
Thank you so much.
First thing would be thank you very much for your talk. And big applause. So we have time for like one question. There was a question. Okay. Können wir ein Funkmikrofon da vorne in Reihe 4 bringen? Reihe 4.
Good morning. Actually, it's not, well, it's a question, but it's also actually a remark, or two remarks. I noticed that there are many wheelchairs driving around without disabled people in it, because it's becoming mainstream to drive around in all sorts of stuff, like beer, cables, and suits, and so on, in the medical space, which is awesome. So that makes a bit like wheelchair driving mainstream. And I really enjoyed looking at it, and it made me some ideas. The other thing is that I experienced that there are many things coming up in these days. Like there's your project, and there is these accessitons in Cabrinfort, there is this help camps. And I find it very exciting that that there is so much going on nowadays. And I'm really hopeful that this is a thing that is going on for a long time, and that there are many things coming out. One question is, do you offer here at the C3 some kind of workshop where we could actually put our hands into work and make such a light? Because I would be very interested in building some.
We haven't prepared this yet, but we should talk in a minute and figure out maybe we can make something actually.
Yeah, cool.
And like we probably missed some parts, but we can at least think about it and like develop it a little bit further and like.
Cool.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes. And if it doesn't happen here, there will be a workshop on the 20th of January in FabLab Berlin.
Okay.
And everybody is warmly welcome to that. Yeah, we had discussed doing a workshop, and somehow it got under the stress of Christmas and everything, and now we don't have our suitcases full of platines, but let's see what we can do. Thank you so much.
Okay, very good. Let's thank our speakers again and give a warm round of applause.